If you've walked with God for any amount of time, you may have realized there are a few moments where you feel like things are really great and other moments where you're like, what is going on? And this is a long journey that I think all of us need to walk through in some way, shape, or form as we get to know who God is and as we grow a relationship with him. So this summer, we're going to be getting into this discussion about what does it mean to actually grow in relationship with God? What does it mean to be on the journey with him? What does it mean to be created to actually be his friend? And the way we're going to approach this is by looking at the life of a guy who very much was created to be God's friend, to be in a relationship with him, sort of as the forefather for all of us who would be in a relationship by God through faith, and that's Abraham. And we run into Abraham back in the book of Genesis. So right back at the beginning of the Bible, we were almost at the end in 1 John. Now we're going back to the beginning, back to the book of Genesis. And we first see Abraham show up in Genesis 11, when we see his family line kind of laid out for us. And then things really get rolling in Genesis chapter 12. And that's where we're going to start our journey with Abraham today. So let's just take a moment and pray, and then we'll take some time to read this initial introduction to Abraham. Father, thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you that within it, God, you show us who you are. And you invite us to get to know you. And you make a way for that to happen. God, as we open up your word today again, we just pray, Lord, that you would speak the things that we need to hear. Each one of us, Lord, and all of us together as well. May we hear your word. May you give us ears to hear you, Lord. May you give us eyes to see the things that we need to see in your word today. And God, give us hearts, too, that are really responsive to what you're calling us to today, we pray. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles here this morning or want to use one of the ones in the chair racks there, we'll be in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9 today as we kick this thing off. We'll have it up here on the screen for you as well. So here we go. The Lord had said to Abram, now just quick side note, I know I said this is about the life of Abraham, and he starts out as Abram, he gets renamed by God later, we'll get there eventually, so for today it's Abram, and if I mess that up, I apologize, because it's Abram, Abraham, same guy, and it gets a little confusing sometimes. Okay, so, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Well, as we get into the story of Abram and in this relationship that Abram has with God, one of the first things we got to understand, did I not read the whole thing? I did. Okay, why am I seeing... Oh, no, I didn't. There's more. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. I knew there was more. Anyways. Okay, as we get into this story of Abram, and as we get into this whole thing of this relationship that he's going to be building with God and that God is going to be building with him, one of the first things we got to pick up, and this is so true for him and it's so true for us, is it in this whole area of relationship with God, it is always God who initiates. It's always God who starts this thing. You know, even in those moments where we think, you know what, I'm starting to seek God or reach out to God, the reason we're doing that is because he prompted us first. But God starts here with Abram. And this is a reality that we always face. God always initiates relationship. Biblically, we see this play out in a whole bunch of different spaces. Romans 3 actually tells us this, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. We don't do this on our own. John 6, Jesus says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day." And a little further down, he went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." God initiates. A little further in the book of John, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go to bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Enough yet? No, let's go for another one. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is the one who initiates with us in relationship, always. And I found this to be true as I look back over the course of my life. I mean, one of the thoughts actually that Larry was sharing about last week and again on Friday night with their work with Mercy Ships is that we don't get to choose where we're born, right? We get placed wherever we are born. So for people placed, you know, in some of the countries they've been serving in Africa, that they didn't choose that for themselves. That's just where God put them. Just like I was put in a family that was a family that went to church, that believed in God, that taught me about Jesus Christ. God initiated with that with me, even by placing me where he placed me, so I would get to hear the good news of Jesus. God initiated that with me. He initiated it with me when he called me to a place of choosing to get baptized. He initiated with me when it was a call to ministry. I was going in a totally different track. I was in my microbiology degree at University of Victoria. I was tracking towards the medical program. I was going to be a pediatrician. That's where my course was going. And God got a hold of my heart midway through that degree and said, "No, David, I have something else for you. I want you to follow me into vocational ministry." God initiated that call. And he's continued to initiate moments even throughout my life journey with him. Moments of greater trust, greater obedience, seeking a deeper life with Jesus, letting him not just be the guy who's my ticket to heaven, but actually allowing him to be the functional Lord of my life, whereby he's the one directing my steps and my path. It's not just me kind of doing what I want and saying, "God, will you bless that for me?" But saying, "God, what do you want me to do?" But God is the one who initiated that. He is the one who continues to draw me into a deeper walk with him. God is the one who initiates in relationship. And he does that here with Abram in Genesis chapter 12. He gives Abram this command to go. "Go to the land I'm going to show you. And here's all that I'm going to do for you, Abram. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you this land that you're going to walk through. I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you a people that's going to be built out of you. I'm going to give you a name, a legacy that's going to carry on far past you. I am going to make sure that you are blessed. I will bless you. Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse." Like, you're going to be blessed, Abram. That's what I'm going to give to you. And not only that, through you, all nations on earth are going to be blessed. That's what I'm going to do for you. God initiates a relationship with Abram, telling him, "This is all the things I'm going to do for you, Abram. Just go. This is what I'm going to do." God starts it. Now, this is in pretty striking contrast to what has just happened in Genesis chapter 11. And if you're not aware of what happens in Genesis 11, beyond the genealogy I told you about, here's what happens. This is going back to Genesis 11, verse 1. "Now, the whole world had one language and common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" This, of course, is the account of the Tower of Babel. And God comes down and ends up not liking what they're doing and scatters them over the face of the whole earth, and they have all sorts of different languages because they can no longer understand each other. Now, why is this in striking contrast to what happens with Abram? Well, with Abram, God said, "This is what I'm going to do for you, Abram." With the Tower of Babel, it was everything the people were trying to grasp for themselves. They were gathering in order to build a city for themselves. They wanted to find a place where they could choose to settle, where they could make a way for themselves. They were trying to gain a name for themselves. God said to Abram, "I will make your name great." They had a real fear of being scattered, And so they were trying to grab blessing and hold on to that place of security. God's the one who said, I'm going to make you. I'm going to do this all for you, Abram. I'm going to take care of you. I am going to bless you. And anyone who curses you, I will curse. But anyone who blesses you, I will bless. I am going to give you security. The people in the Tower of Babel were effectively trying to reach up to the heavens to be like God. Whereas God came down to Abram and said, I will have relationship with you. God initiates in relationship with us. It's not about us trying to grab something for ourselves. It's not about us trying to make it happen or us trying to bring this about ourselves. It's about God initiating and inviting us to something. God is the one who starts. Now, one question you might have, and I've heard this several times, is why now? Why did God call when he chose to call? Why did it not happen when I was younger? Why didn't it happen when I was stronger, when I was better looking and I was able to do more things? Why did God wait for this time? Why did God wait when I was in a moment of pain and just agony before he actually invited me to this thing? Why is it now and not some other time? Why did God do that? Why did God not do this at a time when I could have had so much more impact for the kingdom for so many more years? I've heard this a lot from people who get called by God maybe when they're, 59 years old, like my father-in-law was when he gave his life to Christ. Or others who have been a long way into their working career already and their families have already grown and started to get out the door and they're going, oh, I could have done so much more to teach my kids about Christ. Why did God wait? Why did this not happen any sooner? Well, Henry Blackaby, who is a man who wrote a lot on Abram's life, says this. Long before we heard his call, God had been observing carefully the growing condition of our hearts, especially our hearts towards him. In God's fullness of time, when he sees that the condition of our hearts toward him is matching his purposes in the world, he announces and reveals his purposes. God stirs in us. He shapes us. He's already been at work in us long before we ever realized it. Long before we actually ever heard that invitation, God's been stirring in us and working in us. And when our heart's the right condition, where it matches up with what he's doing, then we're going to hear an invitation. Then God's going to actually invite us into what it is he's doing. Now we see, biblically, we see that there's people invited into relationship with God and into service for God at all different points of their life. We see it with the young, when it's a guy like Samuel, who's just a boy serving at the tabernacle, with Eli, the old priest, and he hears this voice, and he thinks it's Eli calling him in the middle of the night. So he goes to Eli and says, yeah, you called for me? No, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed. Okay, I'll go back to bed. Hears the voice again. Thinks it's Eli, so he goes to Eli again. I heard you calling me. Here I am. I didn't call you. Get back to bed. You can just hear Eli's voice, right? I'm just thinking this as a parent. I'd be like, oh, just get back to bed. Anyways, so then you hear Samuel again. Here's this voice, right? Goes to Eli, and Eli's like, okay, listen, this is not me. This has got to be something different. This is God calling you, Samuel. And God calls Samuel to a life of service for him. And he becomes this incredible prophet and judge in Israel, and the one who anoints the first two kings of Israel. So God calls people when they're really young. There, as we like to say often, there is no junior Holy Spirit. There's no like kind of subsidiary Holy Spirit that we divvy out for the kids' ministry so you guys can have a little taste of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. God is God. And so when God moves in kids and calls kids, it's God doing it. We shouldn't just diminish it and say, oh, that's nice. God calls people when they're in their teen years. Some of the guys like Joseph or Daniel, probably around that age. Young men who are called into the service of the king. God calls people when they're more in that kind of working, kind of getting going kind of part of their life. Some of the other prophets that were called, the disciples who were workers in, with their fathers, fishermen, tax collectors, in that season of working life, and God called them out. Jesus called them to be his disciples. Come follow me. But it doesn't end there. God still calls people even when they're very old. When he called Elizabeth and Zechariah and said, you guys are going to have a son. And you're going to name him John, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And even Abram's no spring chicken here. He's 75 when he sets out from Haran to follow the call of God. And it's going to get even weirder still for him when God decides to show up and do some work through him. There's no time limitation on when God initiates with us. There's no right age for this to happen, and if it doesn't happen by that age, then somehow we've missed out on the blessing of God. God can choose to initiate it with us whenever he chooses to do that. And for Abram, he called him when he was with his family and living in his homeland, and God said, go. I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. And he was 75 when he set out on that journey. God's not concerned with the age you are. He's concerned with your heart. God doesn't make mistakes. He knows his purposes and his timing. And perhaps this is God's timing for you, that God's initiating something new in your life. Well, the initiation part from God, the fact that God starts this whole conversation, is one of the important pieces of this. The other one is that Abram actually responds. He goes. He packs up his family, and off they go with all their possessions to go to this land that God told him to go to. Here, go to the land I'm going to show you. That's nice and vague. But we read in verse 4 that Abram went. It's a really simple statement, isn't it? But man, does that take a whole lot of trust. God called to Abram, said, this is what I'm going to do for you. So Abram went. Abram steps out in obedience. And he goes towards this land that God was going to show him. And that was where we kept reading about all the things. He was traveling around the land. And God reaffirms, this is the land that I'm going to give to you and your descendants. And so Abram just continues to go. He continues to walk through this land that God has promised to give him to. Abram steps out in obedience. In reflecting back on this, the writer of Hebrews had this to say about Abraham. Abram, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Any guys resonate with that? Any wives resonate with that? Anyways, he didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God, and his trust was displayed in obedience. It wasn't like, hey, God, that sounds like a really great idea. Just if you can write everything down for me, give me a map, then I'll be on my way. It's like just, God said go, and Abram went. Simple obedience. Obedience to the call of God. What it was that God was initiating and starting in Abram, Abram went and followed after God. Now faith, and it says that, you know, by faith, Abram, when called to go, he went. Faith is never without some amount of fact or understanding. Abram knew something about God. It just wasn't a lot. He knew there was this voice that had spoken to him and told him, hey, Abram, I want you to go, and this is what I'm going to do for you. He knew that, and he chose to act based on that. It wasn't a lot. It's not a lot at all. But he chose to step out and go. But his initial response of obedience doesn't mean that this is going to be a really smooth ride. Abram is called very much to a journey. This is not just one moment that he's supposed to obey and then everything's done. And if you've walked with God again for any amount of time, you know this to be true. It wasn't just for the one moment that God was calling to you. It wasn't just for one moment that you're supposed to walk in obedience and the rest of the time, hey, whatever. It's a journey that we're on with God. It's a progressive experience of getting to know him and allow him more and more room to operate in our lives. This is not something that was just a momentary experience. This is something that carries on. And that's been my experience, honestly, of getting to know and serve God, is it's not all done in one moment. And that's, I kind of indicated that earlier when I said that God continues to initiate with me. He initiates moments of greater surrender to him. That happened actually just a few weeks ago when I was at General Assembly. And God was really pushing on me. And he's been doing this for months now already in my journal time when I've been reading the word and listening and praying. There's just been this recurring theme of, David, trust me. You got to trust me. Trust me in this. Trust me in that. Just trust me more. And so God is, and he used assembly as another catalyst just to push that message deeper. I keep going, man, with all this trust, what are you opening up, God? Like, what's coming? But that's one of those spaces God's continuing to initiate with me as a part of this journey with him. Trust me more. Trust me deeper, because there's more obedience that's going to be required. God is continuing to initiate, and on this, just not a moment, but on this journey with him, journey of growing relationship with him. Now, it'd be easy to say, you know, okay, so great, Dave, it's a journey God calls us to, so that sounds like something that's never actually done. And to a degree, that's true. I think, I don't think as people we are ever fully finished until the end of our life or until Christ returns. I don't think we actually ever stop growing and being called by God and being shaped by God and being transformed by God and being called by God into his purposes. I don't think that, you know, we have retirement from our vocational work, but we never get retirement from a relationship with God and the purposes that he has for us. That just doesn't exist. There's always something more God is doing in us. And the good news is, though, that even though there is this progressive journey that seems like it never ends, we're told by Scripture that God will finish what he started. God doesn't just kind of initiate something and then say, ah, you know what, that seems like way too much work with you. You're one of my dumb ones. I'm just giving up. Right? You may feel like that sometimes. I feel like that sometimes, right? When I stumble and fall flat on my face again and I go, oh, you got to be kidding. And I just wonder, like, is God done with me now? Is that enough? Was this failure, like, enough failure times? I know he said to Peter, forgive 70 times, 7 times. Am I past the 490 yet? But God said what he starts, he will finish. And Don read this verse out earlier, but I want to read it for you again. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not done yet, and he will finish what he started. It was true with Abram. Man, that guy was in for a rocky road. And it's true for us. Whether we go through the highs, the lows, wherever we are in this journey, midway through the journey, starting the journey, ending the journey, God will carry this out to finish what he started once we're on the journey with him. He's not going to give up on you. No matter what happens along the journey, God doesn't give up on you. He carries out what he said he would do. God initiates, Abram responds. God initiates with us, we respond. That's the pattern. It's what God does. So as we think about God's call to us today and our response to him, I want to ask you, what is God initiating in you today? What is it that God is stirring in you? What is it that he's been kind of working at in your heart for a while? And now maybe there's this moment where the working of your heart, the shaping of your heart is now lining up with his purposes for something. Maybe this is right at the very beginning of the journey. Maybe you're at the front end of this when God is starting something brand new and this is the first time you're coming into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Maybe that's where you are in this whole thing and God's inviting you. And he's been stirring your heart and you've had questions about him and he's just been asking you to step out and trust him. Will you do that and begin this journey with him? Or maybe it's been a bit up and down. And there is that moment where God's got something big coming and you're getting ready for the big loop-to-loop that's going to throw you right off. And God's calling you to a deeper level of surrender and trust. Is that what God's initiating in you today? Or maybe has God got you in the middle of a valley right now where stuff has gotten really, really hard and you just feel like you've been beaten up because stuff's getting chucked at you from every side and you're going, is this enough yet? And maybe in the midst of the valley, God is calling out to you, wanting you to know that he's right there with you. So you will gain a deeper sense and appreciation of his presence than you've ever known. So I've talked with a number of people who have walked through deep pain. One thing seems to be pretty consistent, and that is that in those moments, you definitely know the presence of God a lot closer. And you see how God draws near. Or maybe you're in a place right now where you're right at the top and you're just getting ready for a big adventure. And God's been building something in you and he's been tracking along with you, like some of our grads who are just launching out into a brand new season. And maybe God's got all these things ahead of you and you're right at the peak. You can see the whole thing kind of laid out, this grand adventure. And he's just initiating, saying, now come follow me, because this is where it gets fun. Where is God initiating with you right now? Where in the journey are you that God is calling to you and working in you? Have you listened to know? You know, we always take time for response after the message, and part of the reason we do that is because we want you to have space to actually wrestle a little bit with God. To have space to talk to him, to process what it is that you think maybe he's saying to you, or if you haven't really heard anything yet, to say, God, what are you saying? We want to give you that space before you kind of rush out the door for lunch, because let's be honest, we all know lunch is coming. Your stomach may be rumbling already, I don't know. I didn't have breakfast, I'm kind of hungry. But before we all run out the door, let's not miss the opportunity to say, God, what is it that you're stirring in me right now? Where am I in this whole thing, in this journey? What's the season you're opening up? Maybe you're really aware right now, maybe you're not, but just ask. Ask God to show you what it is that he is initiating in you. And then I want you to think about, how are you going to respond to him? Is it going to be a simple yes? And Abram went, and David went. Is it going to be no? Is it going to be pretend that you didn't hear? Or that what you're hearing is probably for the person you're sitting beside in church today and you should probably tell them all about it so they can go and do that? Lots of times we like God to be close, but not too close. It'd be better if we were close enough to see someone else called into some grand adventure than for us to have to sacrifice and go on it ourselves. But if God is calling to you, how are you going to respond? You know, as we get into this series and this journey with Abram, we are going to see him go on some spectacular ups and some unbelievable downs. He was a man who really did struggle a little bit on his journey of getting to know God. He had some great successes and moments where you just see his faith shine through, and he had some just spectacular moments of utter failure. And I think that's part of the reason I love Abram's story so much. It's because I get it. I get those moments of just being in the heights with God and the moments of being down in despair going, I can't believe this. And so if you want, you know, to look ahead to the roller coaster getting started for Abram, spoiler alert, you can kind of read the rest of chapter 12, and you're going to see some of that as we get into that next week. But it's going to be a lot of fun as we get into this journey and see this incredible story that God initiates with Abram and the incredible story he's initiating with us. If only we'll respond and join him in the journey.